Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome back to an adventure in history. I'm Alana Quila here tonight with Mac Burns, and we have two very, very special guests here with us tonight.
It's a little like homecoming week.
I love it. In fact, Mac, maybe you can leave, and we'll be just fine without you.
Oh, I think we both could leave.
Oh.
These two are very shy.
No, not at all. We're bringing back the original host of this program.
100%.
Yeah. Paulette McCoy is here with us tonight, along with her sister.
Who's a one-time guest.
Yeah.
Versus Paulette, who's a 453-time guest. We still don't have t-shirts. We're still working on the t-shirts.
Oh, that's
true.
Yeah,
where are the t-shirts? Come on.
I know. Maybe that's a project for you now.
Oh, well, wait a second. I do have to say something, of course. I'm so shy. But this is going to be the best
show ever.
Oh, I love it.
We haven't said that in a while.
We haven't. Actually, you're the one that says it.
Well, usually. You know, because we would say it at the same time, Paulette and me. And then I tried to get you to do it, and you would, there was like a pause.
I was a little more judgmental.
You were judgmental.
Well, and how many times has Alana sung on the show?
Never.
How many songs?
Actually, you did once.
I know. I probably hummed like a children's nursery rhyme or something.
It caught me off guard.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
I know. We could bring you back for that too, because Mac has tried, and you know how that goes.
We had a lot of fun singing.
It's never a good thing when I try to sing. But we actually put clips together of just you singing.
Oh, we've I love that.
We've like minutes and minutes of that. So we're very excited to. Okay, now I always forget the numbers. What numbers are you?
Well, I'm number 10.
Number 10.
Patricia Maria Hinkle Nelson now, but you can call me Patty. And I'm lucky number 7.
Ooh.
7 and 10.
Yes. Nice. The younger sisters.
10 kids.
Yes. And brothers.
And I say they stopped at perfection. They hit 10 and they just said, we've done it.
Yeah.
Can't get any better than that.
Nine siblings have probably heard that before, but still get rankled by that.
Of course.
So since we do have such a huge show, got nothing to plug.
Let's go. No. Let's
I mean,
do
we
it.
Do have things to plug, but we're not going to plug them.
No.
But so let's get through the history highlights. These are, of course, things that happen tomorrow, October 3rd. And feel free to play along at home. It's a short list because I knew we were going to be action-packed today. 1872, Bloomingdale's department store opens in New York.
Oh, that's a good one.
And who shopped at Bloomingdale's?
Well, I have.
I have.
Okay, yeah. Everybody has. 1895, The Red Badge of Courage is published by Stephen Crane. Now, I can't remember, somebody and I talked about this on the show once before.
Was it Jimmy, the librarian?
It might be.
Gee, you wonder.
I remember quizzing, like, have you read it?
Because he liked children's literature, I recall.
He did. But see, most people read this in like the eighth grade.
Right.
I somehow skipped it. And then when I hit grad school, we had to read some historical fiction one week. And I said, well, how about this? And my professor just laughed and said, you can't read that. And I said, I've never read it. And she didn't believe me. So she assigned me a different book and this book. She said, you should have already read this, so I want you to read it anyway.
Good.
It's a pretty good book.
Good to read.
1932, Iraq wins independence. Oh. And nothing bad's ever happened in Iraq again.
Right.
It's all worked out.
Yeah.
1955, this one's just for me. Captain Kangaroo premieres on CBS.
I like that. But you know what else premiered?
I love the Captain Kangaroo.
Do you have the other two?
I have one other one.
Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes.
And The Dick Van Dyke Show.
See, I like Dick Van Dyke, and yeah. I know of the show, but I never watched it, even on reruns.
Genius. I mean, because it is Dick Van Dyke. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Opinions?
Was it Mary Tyler Moore?
Yes,
wife?
She was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They had the two twin beds.
It was way before my time, yep. The reruns.
And they did lots of singing and dancing on the show together.
Yes, love Dick Van Dyke. Love
but you both
show.
Nodded for Captain Kangaroo.
Oh yeah. And Mr. Green Jeans.
That's right. I loved Captain Kangaroo. Although looking back on it, I'm like, what's the deal with the haircut?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh yeah, the bangs.
It just doesn't work anymore. It does not age well. All right. 1990. It's great that true love can reunite. East and West Germany reunite after 45 years. So Germany, way to go. 1995, O.J. Simpson is acquitted. And he has spent the time since 95 looking for the real killers. He still hasn't found them.
So I have to plug our podcast. So go back KMUN's website. Go to podcasts and to An Adventure in History. And a couple weeks ago, we interviewed a California Highway Patrolman who was one of the state troopers alongside the Jeep. He even has a picture of it in his home.
The white Bronco.
The white Bronco. Yeah, sorry, not the Jeep. Jeez. Yeah. White Bronco. And he said he just looked in and there's OJ looking right back out at him. And he just, it was a slow motion. And
he was a motorcycle cop. He was on the back left front fender.
So, so go back. And it's the California Highway Patrol on the podcast. It's a really, really good one because that was just one snippet of his fascinating career.
Yeah. All right, but our history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact on history, 1863, President Lincoln proclaims official Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh.
And we've done history of Thanksgiving on the show repeatedly.
Right, yes.
but that's the day.
Okay, so, that's it. He did it a month in advance.
Yep, 1863. It had already been celebrated, but he made it an official holiday.
There we go.
So what'd I miss?
Nope, nothing.
Nothing?
Those
were good,
goodness. Yeah. I was ready.
Wow.
Yes.
So... where do we begin?
No. Well, I'm glad they're both here because you know that I follow Paulette wherever she goes.
That's right.
I need to know now what she's doing so that I can prepare what I'm doing next.
So I think people probably recognize, but explain that.
Because you sound like a stalker right now.
Oh, right. Do I? Yeah. Well, she could say that. But yes, I see what she thinks about the jobs and where she's been working. So she worked at the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce. I went there. She worked at Providence Seaside Hospital. I went there next. She was on this radio program, and here I am.
How do you feel about directing a church choir?
It's not bad. I need to start attending a church.
Okay, so there you go.
That would be helpful.
That'll be your next job.
There we go. Okay. That's a good one, though. I like singing. I actually do know I'm not as good of a singer, though. What are you doing, Paulette? Tell us. What's going on?
Yes. Well, my husband and I live in Portland, but we're down here quite a bit because this is really home for us. I direct a church choir in Portland, and my husband, Lee, is a nurse at the VA hospital, but we're both going to retire after Christmas at the end of December.
Wow.
So we'll be old retirees looking for adventure in history.
Ooh, good. Which you guys always find it before you've been retired anyways.
That's right.
But it feels weird. You should be telling me what you did this past weekend, like you went kayaking, you went bicycle riding or something like that.
Because you did, I'm sure. Yes,
of course.
And then Patty.
Welcome. Yes. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It has been. So introduce us and our listeners to who you are besides sister number 10.
Yes.
Well, our mother, I guess we should start with her, Evelyn Leahy Hankel, started off writing for the Cumtucks. She was one of the ones that started that, founding the Historical Quarterly. Yeah. And so we're here today to talk about our Leahy side of the family because they were they came out in the 1870s to Clatsop County and homesteaded. And so we're here to talk a little bit about that.
And why you stayed.
Exactly.
And consider it still home.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your entire family really does consider it home, and you still have. Is it that homestead, or is it?
We have a little sliver of the original homestead out in the Olney area, out on Highway 202. We have a little bit, and my brother has quite a big chunk of it. He actually purchased it back from somebody that had bought it years ago. So, yeah, we're lucky enough to be able to enjoy the homestead still. We have annual, I think that's what Kevin Leahy had posted some pictures of our annual Leahy reunion. Every July we get together, and I think this year we had, I don't know, close to 100 people.
Yeah, we had 98.
Yeah. Yes. And so getting back after the pandemic, that was really good because, we had to miss a couple years.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's why we're here, to share our Irish roots.
And of those 98, about how many are still in Clatsop County and then how many are regional?
Oh, wow.
That's a good question.
A lot of Portland, and then, of course, Washington State. I would say maybe only about 25%. You know, 20 Clatsop County. And then the rest are kind of, you know, not maybe Northwest, right. You know.
Still.
Yeah.
All in the same
area. And how many of those left and came back, or how many just stayed?
Wow. A lot of them stayed.
Yes.
That still, yeah.
Of that 25% are here.
Yeah. We're just throwing that number out there, so.
nobody's going to fact check.
Nobody's going to fact check. Kevin well, might your mom, know.
Kevin will probably. Yeah.
Kevin might know that fact, but
Your mom would have fact checked it.
Yeah.
She would have called me out on it.
Of course. Well, like Kevin's family, like Kevin lives here, or cousin Kevin Leahy, and then like his kids all live in the Portland area, so of course they come, and so, you know, but I'd say a lot of them have moved away, but they still want to come home.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So you're not the first family in Clatsop County, but you're one of the early settlers.
No, the Van Dusens beat us by 20 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
Yeah. So ours is 1879, and I think the Van Dusens are 1843.
Yeah,
46.
We should have looked it up in the context. Yeah. Well, our great great uncle came in the 1860s, so
that's right.
We can kind of say, you know, we might be able to bump it up a little bit closer. we'll have to talk to Willis and just get the facts on that.
There's probably more of you than there are of Van Dusens.
Yes,
I think so.
Yes, think possibly, so. Possibly.
Yeah.
So, what is it that attracted your relatives to begin with? If you know. And then why do you both still stay here and call this home?
Wow. Well, it's actually a kind of a neat story. Like we said, our great great uncle, Michael Byrne Leahy, he came over from Ireland in, we think, 1866 or so. He joined the army and he ended up in Alaska in 1867 when they raised the flag, when they had just purchased it from Russia. So he ended up in Alaska. So I think when he came over from Ireland, he was in Connecticut first. They had some relatives there. And then joined the army, was shipped off to Alaska. And so that kind of brought him west, I think. And then what we don't know exactly, but the story is that he did his stint up there, and then like in 1873 or 4, heard about the Oregon Homestead Act and was possibly heading down to California to where some other relatives had ended up, his two brothers. And isn't that what you heard too?
Right. Yeah. And then the Homestead Act, of course, started in, I think, 1862.
Yeah.
But this was a few years after that.
Yeah.
And he happened to stop in Astoria.
Yes.
And happened to see this beautiful piece of green mountain that looked just like the old country. That's a wee bit of Ireland.
Yes.
Right there out in Olney. Oh.
He wrote to his two brothers, John and James, who were down in San Francisco with their sister Johanna. They were building. They actually built some of those row houses, you know, in San Francisco during that boom. He wrote to them, and just like Paulette said, he said, "I found a spot that's just like home." And it's funny because he said it's green fields and hills. And the area out in Olney is called Green Mountain Road. And it really literally, if you've been to Ireland, it looks a lot like Ireland. Maybe more evergreen trees, but like it is, you know. So he wrote to them and said, you can have 160 acres. There's two very close to, one was north of him and one was east. And get up here now.
Wow.
You better hurry.
Yeah, and they did. They came up from San Francisco, so that's how it started.
And now, does your family, because you're a family of historians, or a family that at least really appreciates history, for those that aren't officially historians, do you have those letters? I mean, how do you know that?
No.
Were they passed down?
There were some postcards that we found, but no, we don't have the exact letter, so some of that might just be handed down.
But we also did, our mother did tremendous background history on all of this. And Patty has since looked up an ancestry. You've done a lot of work on that too.
And Google. I did a little fact checking. I'm sorry, Mom. But
she was right on. Everything was perfect with her dates.
Because,
and of course, she didn't have Google.
No, I know. Well, because she always said about her, it was her uncle, her great uncle, raising the flag up in Alaska, and I was just like, really, do you think that was, and then, you know, it was 1867, I looked up on Ancestry his date in the Army, and he enrolled January 4th, 1867.
Yeah. Amazing.
So he would have if he went right. So, I mean, not that I didn't trust her, but I think we're just so, we have everything at our fingertips now with the internet, mm-hmm. that, you know, it was just kind of fun to put that together and be like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
We do have postcards.
Yeah, we have some postcards. Yes, they sent a lot of postcards from San Francisco back and forth. We have some of those, which is really neat. And photos. A lot of photos.
So you might have said this, but what he comes here. What was he in Ireland before he comes here and he joins the military? So what was his trade?
He was only 17. Michael, the first one came over when he was just 17. And they were all farmers.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They were all farmers in the old country. And we've... Paulette and I have been to the farm.
We went to the farm, yes.
In Ireland.
Yes. In Tipperary, near Tipperary, both families.
We took our mother when she was alive. We took her there. Yes.
Yeah, because our great-grandfather wrote to a neighbor. Once he was in San Francisco, he didn't have a wife yet. And so he wrote to a neighbor, which was their last name was Noonan, and he asked Joanna Noonan to come and join him and be his wife by letter. So she came, you know, by ship. Oh. And his brother James had met somebody when they had stopped over in Connecticut, and he married another Irish girl, Catherine Hannon. So she went to San Francisco. So then those two were married, and they had a couple children, because they were in San Francisco, what, like 4 years, we
figured? 3 years.
Three
I
or
think.
4 years.
Yes, uh-huh.
And, of course, back then, you know, the babies, you know, every 12 to 13 months, it looked like Irish twins.
The Irish twins are born, yes.
Well, sounds like a lot of work.
I know. Yes. But then they were a little bit worried about their young brother, Michael, who had started this whole trend because he didn't have a wife yet. So they encouraged
and
him.
And he was younger.
And
yes,
he was younger.
Younger, yes.
And they encouraged him to write to Joanna's sister. And she was Anna Marie, but she went by Annie. And so sure enough, she was willing to come over.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And she came to Astoria, and they were married the week she got. They were married in the homestead. The priest would come out on horseback, married her, them, I should say. And then, so then the two... sisters and brothers. That's how we get all our double cousins.
Yeah, so the two Noonan sisters married the two
Leahy brothers.
Oh, my goodness. And so then everybody becomes double cousins.
And they each had nine... our great-grandmother, grandfather had nine children. And then I think the Michael Leahys had 10 and the James Leahys had 12.
12.
Just a few kids
Holy
to populate.
Moly. It's a free work. It's
and then
a free
your
workforce.
Mom still had 10.
Yeah, that's
right. I know, right? Wow.
I'm always amazed at... I can't picture a 17-year-old girl, 18-year-old girl, just jumping from Ireland in this time period where it's not on a plane. Even that would amaze me.
Right.
But it's probably a six-month voyage by train, by boat to this place she's
never heard
of.
That's what they said, 6 months.
6 months.
And it's so cute because one of the stories our mother, with her grandmother, Joanna, told my mother, our mother, was that I finished my day's work as I had done each day before, hung up my apron on the hook near the stove, wished my family farewell, and left with never a backward glance.
Oh, wow.
She was 19, yeah.
19.
Never a backward
she
glance.
She worked, she did her day's work, and...
Hung up her apron, and she was on that boat.
Yeah.
She
was like, I'm going to go do this for myself.
Yeah.
She had to pick up a new apron.
Right, yeah.
But imagine how strong those women were to do that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, just that phrase alone, never look back.
Right.
No.
Well, and the one joining the sister, I mean, that does sound, that sounds nice.
At least you know your sister's going to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you're not leaving your sister alone either.
Right. And out in Olney, it, you know, could get a little lonely because the men were still going in and building in Astoria. They were coming in. And so the ladies kind of ran the farm. Yeah, they had like a dairy. They'd made butter. We still have the original butter churn that they had.
Wow.
So it's, they were hardworking women and men. But,
and that was really tough because the men only came home on the weekend.
Yeah.
They were building
houses. Yeah, one of them still stands up by Clots.
It's up across from the college.
Yeah.
And what kind of, because people are always amazed, like at the Flavel house, that they had a vacation home in Seaside. And I always have to say, it's a 20-minute drive now, but it was a 4-hour trip back then. So what was a trip from the family homestead to downtown Astoria?
Well, from what we know, there used to be a little dock. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Highway 202, like where the big O, the only store is. There's that fork. And if you go right and off of 202, they called it Only Landing. And there was a gentleman that ran kind of, not really a ferry, because the water wasn't that deep there.
Just a raft.
But he would take people, but I think they took their horses on there. Because, and they would go down Young's River and go into Astoria. I don't know where they came in, you know, probably before where the bridge is now to go over to Warren. You know, they probably had a dock there. And that's how they got into town. And then they probably had to ride by horse a good 45 minutes to get to that, you know, because, from, you know, to get the dock, and then they'd go. So, yeah, it was a little complicated.
And again, 15-minute drive today, 20-minute drive.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
So is that neighborhood, is that the River Point neighborhood?
It's past that.
Past there.
So,
okay.
So it's the road that you would take to Young's River Falls.
I was gonna say, like, halfway to Young's River Falls.
So you go to the Big O, and then you can take
a
right.
Yeah, to the landing,
Yeah, to the Young's River Falls, but the landing would have been before that.
Yeah, and then our property is just, you remain on 202 all the way out. I don't know if you know where the fish hatchery is out there, the Class 9 fish hatchery. We actually are the property right before that, but we used to have the fish hatchery. Our great-grandfather donated that in 1910. He donated 50 acres. He was done farming at that point. Was moving in, he lived in town at that point, and he donated 50 acres to the state of Oregon. And back then, all he wanted was water rights. He wanted to make sure that, you know, they could utilize the water and everything. So, yeah, so...
That was very smart.
Yeah, I mean, water was a big thing back then, and they had a way to do it. The fish hatchery was going to develop like some sort of a water system, so they got on board that.
So that just sparked something that totally not connected to this time period, but community service and philanthropy has run in your family deep. Yeah. And obviously way back, that 1910, he's donating land just for water rights, which is a big deal, but by the same token, he's given away 50 acres. That's huge. Mm-hmm. What instills that in your family? I mean, not just for the two of you, because you both give to your communities. What do you think drives that? Is that handed down? Is it hereditary? Is it this community? What does that?
That's a really good question, and I think a lot of it has to do with their church faith, and then their love of community. And I think they felt like, and Patty, you jump in if you disagree, but because they got that land for free, they wanted to give back.
Yeah, you know, they were done, and they came from such dire, you know, the situation in Ireland.
So
I mean, the famine
poor.
Was over, but still, I mean, even the farm today, you can see, you know, how they lived. Some of the house was still there, and I think they were probably pretty grateful that, and you know, that they had used the land, and then they had moved into Astoria, and I think he was still was a builder, and I think he was done farming, and. And I don't know if, you know, maybe the state had approached him because that river's fantastic there, the steelhead and the salmon that come up. And so maybe, you know, they approached him. We don't know, but he was willing to give it up,
The other thing that runs in your family is military service. And I didn't realize that it goes that far back to the first one that came here.
Yeah, that's true. And the Army, too. Most all of them were the Army. Our dad was a colonel in the Army, and we're Army brats, kind of, or maybe just brats.
We were spoiled Army brats.
Yes. I was considered the retirement bonus, though, because he moved to Astoria. He literally called me that. Because they moved to Astoria, I was born. Aww. And then it was like, you know, before that they had lived in Okinawa and France and Germany and Panama, and they'd have all these slideshows, and there'd be all these tropical birds and, you know, bananas, and then the end of the slideshow, there'd be a picture of Patty in a little wicker chair sitting on Jerome Street, and there's Patty. Just put a slide in of her, because when you're number 10, you don't have a lot of pictures, let's face it. And if you don't live in all these exotic places, Astoria was pretty special to me, but that's what I always joke about, like, oh, you must have traveled around a lot. No, I just stayed in Astoria.
Not you.
I was going to riff on that because I'm the youngest, but number three just doesn't even come close. But there is that always, well, you've been there. Oh, no, you weren't with us yet.
No. Right. Oh, it always is. Well, Patty, you wouldn't know this. You wouldn't remember. You weren't born, whatever. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Well, she's not in the picture.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't born yet.
Yes. I've been taped into a couple pictures, too, I noticed. This is a little headshot.
Before Photoshop,
Mom used to cut.
Yeah, Mom used to cut and paste and put. You know,
she was big on it.
People that were missing from the photo, she would cut them from another one and put them in there.
She was pretty good at it.
I know she really was.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, X-Acto knife really.
Yes,
worked well for her.
So, how do you see your family legacy being remembered here in Clatsop County, or continuing even?
Wow, I don't know. What do you think, Paulette? What do you think?
Well, with our brother and his family living here, we have a long
That's
legacy.
That's true. Our brother Hal still lives out in the Olney area, and he has quite a large family.
Yeah.
And so they're still here. I think, you know, and the Catholic Church has been a big part of our family, St. Mary's, you know, and we still have quite a few members of the family that are involved in that church, and so that's another core area that we're connected with. And I think just our mother left such a legacy with what she did. She really, I mean, she gave a lot of time to the Historical Society, the Comtucks. It was so important to her. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of that she really instilled in us too, with keeping the family together and, you know, keeping track of all the, you know, it's so funny because I've kind of become a little bit of the historian, and Paulette or Kevin will text me and they'll say, now what was our great aunt, you know, that married, like, especially Kevin, he's so funny. He just says, oh no, I'm just going to ask Patty. I don't need, I said, you got to write all this down. No, I can just text you.
I can
you.
Just ask Patty. Yes.
I don't need to retain it.
So Patty's become the expert.
And it's worth noting in terms of your mom, I mean, the Historical Society of today is so much different. There was a hardcore group of just a handful of volunteers that gave so many hours and so much time and forced other people to give time. And your mom was one of those that kept this place going and had those dreams. And it's always kind of a thrill to touch base with somebody because they were worried about how to pay the light bill. And we worry about how to do great exhibits. And they created this thing called Comtucks that has lasted for 40 plus years.
With Roger Tetlow.
Oh, yes. Her and Roger. Down in the library on the microfiche.
Yes.
She would go hours and hours.
In the old Daily Astorian papers.
Oh, yes. She went through so much of that. But she really has instilled that in us. And the tradition with the reunion every year has just been really special because that's been going on for over 90 years. So.
And do you have to come up with excuses if you can't make it? Are you in trouble?
Well, it's at my house, so it's pretty awkward if I'm not there. But
yes.
No, everybody comes willingly, pretty much.
Yes.
And they have t-shirts.
Yes.
I mean, they have t-shirts.
Yes. I'm sure they do.
We do have matching t-shirts, of course.
So and the old recipes.
I love that.
Lydia's potato casserole or Aunt Hattie's potato
cake. Oh, so people bring these.
Yes.
And they make them.
Yes. They're traditions.
Yes. Yeah.
See, there's some legacy. I love legacy and food.
Yes. We've never talked about the food at these. We always just talk about how many people.
The food is fantastic.
Okay, I'm hungry now.
This could be an 8-parter. We are going to have to bring you back, and it shouldn't be as long next time until you get here again. So,
thanks for having us.
Thank you, both of you.
Always welcome and always a delight. Go Make's Mystery. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.